Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, Culture, Chapter 2, Core Behaviors, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, what is culture? How can I create the right culture? What behaviors are recommended for a successful culture?
Hey folks, if you are in Texas, more specifically, if you're in Dallas, Texas, we will be in Westlake June 20th and 21st with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences. Again, if you'd like to join us in Dallas, you can register today on our website, manager-tools.com/training.
Our favorite, especially for remote work, I think, is work product. If you're remote from your directs, this is bread and butter time. What you do and how well you do your job are behaviors as well. Conceptually, this in part flows from your organization as an entity unto itself with you and your associates, your peers, your team members, et cetera, as the hands and arms and eyes and ears of the firm. I just got a picture of somebody as an ear and it was really creepy. In the same way that your hands and eyes engage in your behavior, you engage in your firm's behaviors. If you're in the US and you have a legal background, think of a firm as it relates to legal personhood status. One cannot assert themselves as a disconnected individual if one is acting professionally in their role in or on behalf of their firm. Managers can't be managers without the firm's existence to make their role possible, which means that your job responsibilities are a good starting point to think about what your behaviors ought to be at work, because job responsibilities, another way of saying that is job responsibilities serve as a form of avatar for work product behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to clarify this.
Yeah, absolutely. As a general rule, work product is defined in terms of its behavioral aspects when it comes to quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, relationships, and sometimes safety. So let's start with quality. How does your work compare to accepted or posted standards of efficiency and excellence? That is quality.
Quantity. How much work have you done? It took me a second to think about this one because there's a lot of work getting done. Okay, how much work have you done? This is certainly true in many jobs where there are numerical goals, though there's a lot of jobs that are not formally measured where quantity can be assessed and is thus a behavior. So leads or closes, you know, there's all kinds of, we could go into ad nauseum, a list of quantity measures. So I won't rabbit hole us too far. So, okay, good. So quantity.
Okay. And then there's accuracy. Does your work require rework? Or does it meet generally accepted practices within your profession?
It's a good definition of the rework one. Otherwise, it's really, sometimes accuracy is another one that we kind of get stuck on, I think. Like when we talk about it, when I talk about it with individual managers, sometimes they say, what do you mean by accuracy versus quality, for example? And rework is a good
amount of rework.
Yeah, a good measure there. Which brings us to timeliness. Do you meet deadlines? Speed can sometimes create inefficiencies, and usually it's an enormous competitive advantage. Frequency of work product is also a part of timeliness. Personal timeliness is included here too. Being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Isn't it funny? People who are always late to meetings don't always miss more flights than the rest of us. I know someone, specifically I know two people, who are routinely late. And these are people in my personal life, full disclosure, they're routinely late to things to which we are both invited. And yet, both of them are always on time to work and on time for flights. And it drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me so frustrated.
Oh, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. And then there's documentation or documents.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible for the communication and analysis and ideas, but you're responsible for the communication you present to others in written and electronic form. What that means is when we say documents or documentation, emails are behavior, they're documentation. And in those written communications via email, via Slack even, you make choices about what you said and how you said it. This is really akin to something we discussed earlier, right? In respect to the words you say and how you say them. We have some of those same criteria. I mean, slightly different, but albeit relatively the same in our written communication as we do in person. Fonts, whether or not things are in all caps or in normal capitalization, all of those things are well within our ability to give feedback on or talk about in terms of behavior.
I love a good caps locks. Mm-hmm. Okay, relationships. That's right, folks. Your relationships are an aggregated form of behavior. The words you say, how you say them, frequency, quantity. Your organization relies on you to maintain professionally viable relationships. If you don't do so, It affects other parts of your work and the firm overall.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. And then there is the last on our list is safety. And safety isn't applicable for all roles, but for those roles that it matters immensely.
Yeah, big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like there are laws around employee safety. It's a kind of a big deal, guys. It's kind of a big deal. Right? And safety is a set of behaviors. And we know this in part because safety is carefully measured and safety trainings are the most likely to include really specific guidance on what is safe and what are unsafe types of behaviors.
Or actual specific behaviors, not just types. Wearing your eye protection, wearing your hard hat. Those are behaviors. In fact, in the safety space, honestly, y'all, there's much more clarity, behavioral clarity, than in these other areas in most organizations. Because if you have to define safety behaviors, it's one of the few places where clarity around federal guidelines in the United States specifically is really strong.
Yeah, because it really matters.
Yeah.
I mean, this is silly. And I mean, I don't mean to say it this way, but if you break the safety rules, that's life or death in lots of places.
It absolutely is.
If you break the
late to meetings rules,
right? The accurate documentation rules, the lack of communication rules. There's a lot of other rules that can be broken and life and death is not being discussed. But when it comes to safety, it is. So you're right. They get a lot better, a lot more granular, a lot clearer about what a behavior looks like when it comes to safety.
Right. Y'all, this is how work behaviors are defined. All value creation flows from or through behaviors. And in those cases where value flows and it's not behavioral, we still recommend that you focus on behaviors because they're measurable and visible. Which brings us to managers and the culture you're creating. Managers create their own subculture in the organization.
And folks, the vast majority of managers, and therefore don't feel bad if you're one of them, the vast majority of managers mistakenly believe that culture is an organizationally owned and controlled idea. Right? We think, right or wrong, that our organization should tell us what our culture is, and that's the end of the discussion. And this is true, even though most managers struggle to say what they do to enable, enliven, or enforce the corporate culture. They've been told that they have got, and that's the key, right? Many managers have been told what the culture is, and they think that's kind of the end of it. End of discussion.
Yeah. And okay, it's tough, right? I mean, it is tough that they're telling us what the culture is and then, oh, hey, figure it out. We're not suggesting that this doesn't require effort on your part and that even though most managers struggle to get this done, it's not something that is worth struggling through. But while your company, university, governmental department is entitled to state what kind of culture it desires, so too does each manager get to create his or her own subculture. You're granted some autonomy as a manager, some ownership of definition around what people should and shouldn't be doing on your team.
Mm-hmm. We talk about this often, I feel like, Kate, the fact that there are a lot more leeway in a lot of these organizational processes, culture being one of them, than the individual manager often thinks they've got. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more autonomy in terms of your ability to create these things. And managers not only get to, despite believing culture is a top-down thing, but whether or not we recognize it, we each automatically create, whether or not we intend to do so, we automatically create our own subculture through our own behaviors, through the things that we talk about most often and we communicate to our folks as our priorities, through our individual relationships with them, with our manager, with our peers, and through our communications to the team, to the organization, etc. We are always communicating based on what we do to the folks on our team, what is acceptable in terms of our team's culture. So if we're always late, we've got a late culture. And if we reward timeliness, we have a timeliness culture. If we lie, we have an unethical culture. And if we smile at each other and ask how we're doing and offer each other help and see whether or not individuals need our assistance, we have a kind and helpful culture.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of problems, right, with managers not being aware of this organizational principle and, quite frankly, being part of it but not realizing that it's occurring, I think. I think a lot of managers don't really realize that they're creating a culture through their own just going about their day-to-day. And then most managers don't know what their company's stated culture is. You probably know well the actual culture, which is how employees behave. And a lot of managers then, they don't know their own culture, like the one they're creating, having not realized that they were supposed to define one and create it through example setting. They're doing it on accident, essentially, right?
Yeah,
you don't
totally.
Realize
unintentionally.
That your example has set a cultural guideline. And then therefore, managers don't know where the conflicts might be between the company's stated culture, the actual culture, and then their own subculture, which there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It actually makes it worse. All the subculture is being created by every boss between you and the manager and those at the top of the organization who codify the organization's culture, most of whom have the same problems we just outlined. What we're saying is the organization has a culture. And if you accidentally, unintentionally, have created your own culture, so has every other manager in your organization. There are a lot of little cultures going on in there. It's a petri dish.
Or it's like the ultimate game of telephone for culture. Right? The organization says, this is what it is. And the next person says, okay. And they do some stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they don't realize the other stuff they're doing. So now we've got this kind of like subversion. And then the next manager sees both that and then they have their own behaviors, another sub. So we've got all these little factions. And not in a bad factions is connotatively negative. So, okay. What should you do, y'all? You should start thinking about what culture you have and what culture you want to have on your team or in your part of the organization.
Yeah.
To do this, ask yourself, what culture do I think we have?
Mm-hmm.
Define that by what behaviors do you reward? What behaviors do you punish? How do you treat each other? What would appear important if someone came in and shadowed us for a week? What would they see as important to us? So that's the first set of questions. Then ask another set of questions. What culture do I want us to have?
Mm-hmm.
What would we be doing that would make us more effective in accomplishing our mission? What behaviors are worthy of reinforcement? What do we want to reduce or eliminate behaviorally? How should we treat each other? What would I want a person to shadow us for a week, see us doing and saying?
Exactly.
And finally, in what way might the culture I want to have be in conflict with the corporate culture or all of my bosses' cultures, so far as they are known? I mean, there isn't any subculture police.
Yeah.
But you ought to know. Well, I hope there's.
I hope there's not. I mean, I don't know what your culture is. I don't know where you work, but I hope there's not.
I hope they have segues if there is. You ought to know if you're in conflict as you communicate with your culture about your team. So think about not only the culture in your little area of the world, as well, think about the ones above you, below you, to the sides of you. Because this guidance that we're currently talking about is not about implementing your own culture. It's about knowing what kind of culture you want and why you would want it. Start there. Start with the what and the why, because we're going to actually get to a point, y'all, in our future guidance where we tell you how to get your team engaged with the culture you want. That's coming. We're not there yet. We got to have these discussions. It's just a discussion between you and I. We want y'all to be thinking these things before we bring to you recommendations about implementation.
Yeah, you need to know what kind of culture you want to create before you worry about creating it. And that is not going to happen easily, necessarily. It's going to take some time to figure out what your current culture is, what culture you want. And for some of us, unfortunately, we may find that those two things are quite different from one another. So that's going to take some time, and we'll come up with the next piece of guidance around actually implementing. But for now, because after you've listened to this podcast, you're going to be answering those questions Kate just asked. You're going to be thinking through, okay, what kind of culture do I actually want?
The Effective Manager book begins. If you're a manager, this book was written for you. Seems like a sentence that's unnecessary, doesn't it? However, Mark, Kate, and I explain that most management books weren't written for managers. They were written for CEOs. That's why they don't have anything actionable that can be put into practice right away. However, the Effective Manager book, it was written for you, for managers, where you are right now, with the actionable steps to get you where you want to go. The Effective Manager book should make it to the top of your reading list. You can get it on Amazon or on the Manager Tools website at manager-tools.com/products.
Let's talk about some behaviors that create effective organizations. Presumably, in your creation of the culture you want to implement for your team, you're going to want to know what some of the most important or effective behaviors are to make part of your future culture. So, what kind of culture should you have? How your organization's members should behave? And the answer can be blindingly easy. I mean, let's face it, but plenty of people miss it. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is an obvious answer, except if it was this obvious,
we'd all have one.
Yeah. Okay. So too many managers and other professionals have been in meetings where culture was discussed, or maybe it was vision that was discussed, or mission or values. Maybe that stuff was debated, all with the idea of coming up with the right verbiage, which is super fun, right?
Yeah.
You start with every emotive or important or significant word and
buzzword central.
It down to the 25 you want your people to embody. Lately, Sarah and I have been having some conversations where we struggle with connotation. It's like, oh, well, that's not how I feel about that word. And so to be in those kinds of meetings where the culture is discussed is interesting in that connotation's subtle in a lot of ways. And y'all, the meeting we just described, that's not the way to do this.
No, it's not the best way, no. The kinds of decisions that you're going to be making for an entire organization's culture are incredibly different than what an individual manager's team culture might be. And the fact is, organizations know at some level that, I mean, let's face it, the organization's not really creating a culture. They're compiling a marketing document. And we mentioned this early. They intend that the culture statement is an external marketing and recruiting device and is an internal guide to behavior. If they even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that culture is behavior. Exactly.
Which we assume they don't, y'all.
Which we assume they don't. Exactly. And this dual use is why culture efforts so often fail. They're attempt to both sell to the outside to attract new talent, as well as influence internal behaviors. The kinds of cultural vocabulary that passes for popular or marketing savvy, I should say, is usually hard to turn into internal guidance about behavior that actually makes up the culture. These statements are the kinds of statements that almost by definition can't serve a dual purpose. So it's problematic, is what I'm saying. It's problematic.
We support the fact that these efforts go on, sure. We also understand why it would not necessarily then trickle down to an individual manager's efforts. Typically, an individual manager's culture efforts are focused exclusively on the behaviors of their team. Mm-hmm. And it would really honestly be, in our opinion, an exceptionally rare manager who would create a culture intended to be an external or even like internally marketable in the company, but external marketing or recruiting device. That would be like, unless you're at a startup and you're a big faction of
your
organization.
You're the only team, maybe.
Sure. Y'all, the right way is to proceed from the reason the organization exists. Based on the organization's skills and abilities, what kind of culture, what set of behaviors is most helpful to ensure the short and long-term success and survival of the organization that allows it to serve its society? It's that simple.
Yes, exactly. And individual managers proceed from the same basic principles of mission and success and the contributing behaviors. What a manager within the organization must ask him or herself is, what is our mission? Who do we serve with what? And what behaviors, what culture, will most likely help us do that? It's simply accomplished on a micro scale compared to the organization's culture.
Yeah. Okay, here are some behaviors we have seen support and create successful, long-lived organizations at virtually all levels. They're not really in any order. We could have ordered them. We're not doing that. They're not intended to comprise either in total, right? An entire culture statement. This is designed to get you thinking about behaviors rather than the kinds of undefinable words that frequent culture guidance. And as we're going through them, remember the behavioral categories of the words you say, how you say them, facial expression, body language, quality of work, quantity of work, accuracy, timeliness, documentation of work, and relationships, sometimes safety, because we're going to go through these. And you may find these samples of successful culture communications to feel rather plain.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have the same emotional resonance that organizational culture statements or websites do. And y'all, that's intentional.
Yeah.
Behaviors don't have the resonance of invigorating or foresighted types of discussions. It's not to say that you can't make these sound better if you want to, but be careful. Don't do so at the expense of losing the connection to behaviors on these. So when you talk to your people, if you're going to do that with these, stay at the behavioral level.
Yeah. Well, remember, you're not creating an external marketing statement.
Right.
Different purpose. Different purpose. This is an internal purpose. And as an internal purpose, it must be actionable. So what we're specifically recommending is that you use precise language to define what we do, as opposed to what we want to be. Right? It's be versus do. And in this case, we want a do statement. And you could easily use a single word to capture a culture or behavioral guidepost. And we found that difficult. Using single words tends not to capture well a group of behaviors. But be careful. You'll often find that cultural marketing documents, guidance, websites referred to by the title Who We Are. And again, this isn't who we are. This is what we do. It would be more precise to refer to us as what we do or how we do what we do. But Who We Are has a nice ring to it. And we're all suckers for a good line.
Yeah. So you don't have to use the precise construct here, y'all, of we do. We're using it for the reasons that Sarah just outlined. So, okay, we'll go through these. We tell the truth. this behavior is probably a combination of both the words we say, how we say them, and work product accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We achieve our goals. Goals surely being quality, quantity, accuracy, and timeliness.
We create professional relationships. This is one we've seen several times, and it usually includes some sub-behaviors like we speak honestly, we communicate with kindness, we are timely in our communications.
Mm-hmm. We work efficiently, and this falls under the quality and quantity of work done.
We over-communicate. If in doubt about whether to communicate or not, we communicate, which falls under words we say and documentation.
Mm-hmm. We do what we say, and this combines virtually all aspects of the categories. And we've seen lesser versions of this in the form of we are trusted, which we are trusted isn't behavior and relates to other people's feelings about us versus what we actually do. We do what we say is the do part.
And this list is not full. It's not all of it. It's designed to help you see how if culture is behavior, then what culture guidance for an individual manager might look like and why it might look that way. That sentence was very poorly constructed. I apologize. We're just trying to help you get from culture as behavior to how to communicate a set of behaviors that support a certain culture to mm-hmm. your team. That's where we're trying to get you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, Kate mentioned this earlier, but in guidance, which we'll release in the future, we're going to talk about how to actually implement your culture. I would suggest, in the meantime, if you are creating these statements for your team, we tell the truth, we achieve our goals, we do these things, and you'd like a second set of eyes, or you're not quite sure they're behavioral enough, they might still be a little bit too buzzwordy, if you want to write them out, type them out and send them to us via email. We're happy to read your statements and turn them into do statements so that your team has, when it comes time to create and implement this culture, you have got very specific, very precise wording that enables your team to do what you want done.
All managers create their own culture, whether they think that they are or not. Effective managers are intentional about it and know that culture is behavior and think often about what behaviors lead to effectiveness. So stay tuned for Chapter 3's help on how to get this implemented.
You betcha.
That's all we've got for today, y'all. Join us again next week for a new topic. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye, y'all.